of just like autobiographical songwriting and just kind of like viewing it from a point of, okay, like how do we do this theme that's very like community based? And I always forget to mention this, but we had another meeting recently and Vanessa brought this up, but this idea of for other like immigrants who might feel, I don't know, removed from home and not being able to celebrate some of their new Lunar New Year festivities back home with their family, you know, trying to like create this song that somewhat encompasses the feeling of home. And like, you know, one of the unifying themes was like being under like the shared moon. And so like that was a kind of need to create with that kind of being the backdrop for it. And yeah, like Vanessa said, kind of just being really in the moment. So I wasn't thinking too much about how I was feeling about the process, but I can tell you just because the last like few days I've been trying to learn the song. And as I've been learning it, I've been kind of, you know, very appreciative of creating something like that, because now that it's this holiday song, once you make a song like that, you're like, oh, okay, well, it exists. And then once a year, guaranteed, it's like, it'll like come back full force. It'll just be relevant, even with you not doing anything. So I didn't really think about that, like how the carryover of this will just continue. It's just something that like will just continue to just exist and breathe on its own.
What does the Lunar New Year mean to each of you?
I think for me, it's really changed because moving to Canada, like back in Taiwan, it's a way bigger deal. Like people get like 2 weeks of holidays off because the Lunar New Year celebration starts on the new moon of the first new moon of the lunar year, and it ends on the full moon. So it's a 15-day festivity. And from New Year's Eve until the full moon, there's kind of stuff that you're supposed to do. Some days you get off, but there's like kind of traditions and rituals that a lot of families will adhere to. And my mom's family is quite traditional. And it's also a very big family. Both my parents have 5 siblings. So all their siblings have children. So I have all these like cousins, and then all my cousins have kids. So when I was in Taiwan, it was a really big deal because all the family would kind of come together and do these things together, whether it's like going to the temple or having meals or certain foods. It's kind of like how maybe like Filipinos celebrate Christmas, or like really hardcore Christmas families will do Christmas. That was like Lunar New Year for us. But being in Canada, it's really changed because even though my parents and my brother are here, we don't celebrate it anywhere to the same extent. Like we just have like one dinner, New Year's Eve-ish. It doesn't even have to be on the day. Like we don't care. We did it last night. So yeah, it just kind of became less of a big deal, which is kind of sad. But so it was nice to actually like make this song and kind of revive the holiday spirit for myself a little bit and have being a part of Lunar Fest and all their programming.
That's cool. I like hearing that perspective. And like for myself, because I never really like lived in like the motherland, it's interesting because like even my extended family, like we'll get together, but like my extended family, like most of them were born here as well. So we're all quite removed like from a generation or so. So we're probably missing many aspects of like some traditional things, but like the main theme of just like getting together with family, and it's just like an extra, it just feels like another Christmas of sorts, really, but with more red, and more Chinese food.
This is a big question, I guess, but why is it important to celebrate Chinese language music in BC?
I think there's a lot of Chinese language speakers that also don't see themselves represented in media. There's like a couple of Chinese radio stations, and I think it's quite segregated. I think there's like English speakers and then Chinese speakers, whereas if you look at the demographics, like Chinese language speakers make up quite a large portion, especially in like the lower mainland. So I think, yeah, to have those communities feel represented and heard and have their voices, something that they can relate to, but then also maybe having non-Chinese speakers exposed to more of it and have it more normalized would be really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. The exposure to other communities that might not be familiar with the Chinese language, I think this is definitely an important part of what getting this type of music out there is, because especially a song like this, because like it's a hybrid, like, right, we have English and we have Taiwanese and Cantonese and Mandarin all in one song. And there was another Jade artist at our last event. Her name's Eunice, but she made this point, I remember, about how, let's say, like a pop song like Despacito, I think is what she said, and saying how, okay, look, we have this pop song that incorporates a little bit of Spanish, and like that's all right, and it's cool, and it like it's trendy, and it's like, well, why can't Chinese language music be like that too? And frankly, any language should be embraced to that degree in North America.
Yeah, and I think also for like, you know, second gen, third gen kids, maybe face a language barrier and cultural barrier when they communicate with their own family, whether they're parents or extended family. And it's like, maybe not cool to go to Chinese school. I think that's like a common story where like kids that grow up here are born here. They don't see a point in like why they should be learning their mother tongue, and they regret it later as an adult. And they wish they got to like reconnect more, or at least like have that language ability. I think like having more, yeah, like art and music has like a point of contact of like, oh, here's a song that you can learn. Because I remember when I was learning English, like songs was like one of the big things. Even if I'm like trying to learn Spanish or something, like it's actually so much easier for me to remember words in the context of a song than it is to just like memorize.
I think you also get from a song, you get so much extra context, and like it's sort of like a gateway into the figurative side of the language, which is often so hard to understand in another language, like what this metaphor actually means and that sort of thing. You both sort of touched on it throughout and also in your last answers, but I want to ask what your hopes are for New Year is here.
I hope people like it. I hope they hear it. I hope it brings them joy. I think it's pretty catchy, so I hope it becomes like a New Year bop. I think it has a different vibe than a lot of New Year, Chinese New Year songs that already exist. Often they can be kind of like campy, and I don't know. Like my parents listened to it and they were like really excited. I think they were actually secretly really into it. They're like, oh yeah, this is actually like really different from like other New Year songs. Like this is cool. Yeah, just like different generations can listen to it and maybe connect and sing it together or just get into the holiday spirit.
Yeah. And we were kind of like low-key manifesting like this idea that the song will be like someday taken for some sort of commercial or something.
I want that sync placement.
Yeah.
Some sort of annual Lunar New Year commercial.
Yeah, maybe, you know, or who knows? Yeah, maybe it's in Asia too. Like, there's a lot of people over there. So, I don't know. Whatever happens to the music, I hope people just like feel good from it when they hear it. We have an opportunity to perform it at the Orpheum to kick off their Lunar Fest concert. So, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the concert. What does it mean to be performing this song at the Orpheum?
Yeah, it's a really cool venue. I'm excited to be going back. But I think the context of this song is like, hopefully people learned it ahead of time and we can get like some kind of sing-along or audience interaction thing going, maybe. But I think it'll be able to share this more on-theme song with that crowd who's there to celebrate the New Year. Because last year, like both of our sets were just like our own music. There was no New Year theme to it.
It's kind of neat just like to have the evolution of our involvement with this organization now bring us back to like, you know, an iconic Vancouver venue. Just so amazing to play there. Oh my goodness, I can just like visualize the acoustics and like just what that looks like from the stage right now. And so to have these opportunities like this and to like to create this song and then to bring it in a live situation on a stage like that, you know, pretty grateful for that. So yeah, I'm feeling a little bit of pressure right now because I'm not as dialed in with the language as Vanessa is. So I got to like put in like all this extra work to learn the Mandarin parts, which I don't have to sing all of them, but I want to be able to know all of them because we have some other like kind of media performances we're doing and like Vanessa and Gina can't be there for some of them. So then somebody's got to sing those parts. I'm like, okay, well, I got to learn it. So right now I'm excited. So I guess that gives me some motivation to practice a little bit more. And I like a challenge. It's almost like, I don't think I need to do that for every show, but like, I like to like always be like, I don't have everything locked in for something that's upcoming. And so I don't know. I'm excited for all the vibes that have to do with this song, but also just another chance to like challenge myself, like from a musical perspective.
Is there anything else you think I should know or our listeners should know about the song or about yourselves?
Putting out an album this year. It's called Unsent Letters to Whom It May Concern. I haven't set an official release date, but it is bilingual. And I have been putting out singles. So I have some singles out and will continue to release stuff as singles. And the whole album will come out, I think, April, but who knows?
Another point about the song, I know we had on the Jade Music Festival, or maybe it's the Lunar Fest YouTube page, we had the music video that was done in studio, kind of like a behind the scenes making of the song type of thing. So if listeners want to have like a visual accompaniment to hearing the song, they can find that on YouTube. Yeah, if they put New Year Is Here, Red Envelope Song, they'll find it.
Was it extra work to shoot the video, or did it just sort of happen as you were recording and producing the song?
It was very last minute. Me and Vanessa, I don't think we really knew what was going on. There was like a couple
No
of
idea.
photographers and like a videographer came in, but it was very spur of the moment. Yeah, it was a lot going on because like the song wasn't done. Normally you're like done like one thing and you can like kind of do this. So it was all very just like, when it rains, it pours type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little bit extra work, like, and not in terms of having to go anywhere, because we ended up deciding that we should just do the video at the same time and place as our recording session was booked. But we kind of had to take time out of the recording session to do the video. And it was also like a little intense to have like two cameras in your face while you're trying to track. But yeah, it was fun. It was a fun experience.
Yeah, I imagine, usually being in the studio can be a very like intimate or vulnerable thing if you're, doing take after take and making mistakes and trying to get things perfect. So to do that with cameras must have been a little extra pressure, I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks to both of you for sitting down with me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Cooperatives and Mutuals Canada is honored to host the annual CMC Congress from June 10 to June 12 at the Hotel Saskatchewan in Regina, Saskatchewan. Under this year's theme, The Future is Co-op, join us for thought-provoking plenaries and participate in interactive workshops and breakout sessions. To learn more or register, please visit www.canada.coop now.
Broadcasting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Local musician Amy Blanding joins us in CIFR Studios today in conversation concerning the upcoming release of her new single on January 31st. This is more than just a digital signal for your entertainment, although that may be a side effect. Sunbirds is a protest song designed to bring awareness to the plight of all those affected by the ongoing incursion of Israeli forces in Gaza. Ms. Blanding is currently engaged in a lawsuit that emerged following a series of events which unfolded after her initial performance of this song in April 2024. Between then and now, Blanding was removed from her post as Director of Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Accessibility at Northern Health. Her colleague, Vash Ibadi-Cook, resigned in protest of her dismissal. Ms. Blanding sought legal advice and went public with her story. Since then, she has weathered a sustained flurry of online complaints and criticism, endured economic hardship due to unemployment, but has carried on not only as an advocate of Palestinian awareness, but also as a mother, a wife, and musician in the community of Prince George Clayby Tinné. And now, as of January 31st, the track which triggered this journey, Sunbirds, prepares to take flight. It's remarkable that through all this confusion and distraction that you were able to find focus again to pursue the release of this track.
Yeah.
Which was the original thing, circling back to it finally after several months and all that's happened to you. So this song has obviously changed your life in ways you likely never would have predicted. I'm going to imagine that was probably not in your wildest dreams.
Nope.
What was your original intent when articulating this piece? Has that intention changed or evolved as you've gone through, you know, so many challenges since initially performing that track?
It is interesting. I wrote Sunbirds, and I write a lot of my music because I'm compelled to say something. Mm-hmm. I feel often the way I think a lot of people feel when they're hit with these huge things that they just can't understand or that they feel like they need to talk about or do something about, and they don't know where to put that energy or they don't necessarily have an outlet. I'm a musician and an artist, and I've chosen in that place to use that platform that I've developed and I've been given and that I'm privileged to have to share things and hopefully share them in a way that connects with people on an emotional level such that they never think about these things the same way again and that they feel compelled to talk to their community about or to make a difference or make a change. And it's also just like, I'm compelled to do it. I have to say something. I have to do something. And so the songs often write themselves in a way. And you'll see that with most of my music and a lot of the new music that's been coming out that I've been performing over the past couple of years that will get recorded later this year on a new album. I tell stories that need to be told. And I think I give voice to folks who are silenced, often marginalized voices that we don't give space to. Again, I considered it my responsibility to use the stage that I have to share those stories and to make space for those voices. Sunbirds is the same. Since October of 2023. I haven't been able to sleep very well because I'm haunted by images of mothers like myself holding babies the same age as my little boy, wrapped in white shrouds, wailing, and like have a visceral psychological reaction to these images. I can't not talk about them and I can't not express them through my art. That was always what Sunbirds was for me an opportunity to express my rage, but also to sing about a place that, from what I've read and what I've seen and what I've heard from Palestinian friends, is such a beautiful land. And it's filled with beautiful people, olive trees and music and art of its very own, and stories of people walking for miles on their own land. And I want to articulate the beauty and the pain that we're seeing. And so, yeah, that was always what Sunbirds was. And then it, of course, took on a life of its own. And I don't think that's changed too much. My intention now with the song, I think, is like it's definitely taken, it's become sort of a touchstone for me, and is probably the most important song I've ever written. And that's okay. I think art is necessary in times like this. It's important for us to have protest songs that we can grab onto, and, you know, it lights the way through the movement towards collective liberation. So if I can contribute in some small way to that, I'll feel really grateful. And if we can raise some money with the song as well, that will be just the best thing ever.
The amount of rigor that's been attributed to this song is fairly above average in comparison to your typical track.
Yeah.
As you mentioned before, it's really nothing new for you to be exploring, you know, a theme that's political in nature or that has to do with social justice or human suffering, or really just observing the world around us.
Yeah, exactly.
As this goes out into the world, you have touched on this, but is there a particular aspect that you're hoping that people take from it beyond awareness of this issue?
I think, like I said before, my real concern, and you obviously see this on a daily basis, is that these massive issues that have such an impact on humanity and an impact on all of us just fall off the news cycle and are never heard from again. And we're a product of our culture and our society that looks for that instant fix or something new to pay attention to. And the last thing that I want is for us to forget about Palestine, not just for the people who are still dying and for the healthcare workers who are still fighting for people's lives in Gaza, and not just for Syria and Lebanon and the other countries that are now dealing with this barrage of just crazy violence. It's not just for that, and that would be enough, but also because the liberation of Palestine is inextricably linked to our collective liberation. We are watching it unfold, but we are a part of it. And I think that this is an unprecedented time. And if we can keep the story going, those of us in the West and those of us with privilege, if we can keep the story going and look at it in a new way and bring humanity to it, we are forcing change. It's happening. I mean, Starbucks is losing money because people are boycotting because of their participation in funding the genocide. And the global majority is making change. And we have to keep going with that. We can't let these short sound bites and little tiny TikToks distract us from the fact that we can actually make a difference here, and that we can educate towards collective liberation, and we can free ourselves and the indigenous people from Turtle Island to Palestine from oppression. We actually have the capacity to do that. And so that seems like really grandiose, but what my job is like, what is my part? What is one thing that I can do? What is one thing that everybody can do to make sure that this is fresh and it stays there and it's raw and it's like top of the news cycle, top of mind, that you don't stop talking about Palestine, you don't stop talking about everything that it's connected to, and this can help do that. Every time you listen to Sunbirds, maybe you'll think about that. The final line of the song is, you can censor every song, but we rise up together, one stage, one voice, till all of us are free. Like, that is a possible place to arrive at, and it's not Pollyanna, it's like hope driven by action. And so this is the one thing that I'm doing now, and you can download the song and contribute to that momentum. And if everyone contributes to all the little things across the globe, like, we will see change. And it won't be the last thing that I do, of course, but right now in this moment, this is in my control and I have the capacity to do it. And I'm grateful for the opportunity.
So all proceeds of the track Sunbirds go towards Wear the Peace, an organization providing immediate care needs within Palestine. We're talking food, clothing, water, shelter, transporting people to hospital, immediate care, on the ground efforts, and
as well as support to transport folks for medical emergencies and surgeries out of Gaza and then back in. All of the information about the organization can be found on wearthepeace.com.
Where can we find your song?
So it will be available on Bandcamp. So it's amyblanding.bandcamp.com. And I have to stress that you have to download the song off of Bandcamp in order for me to actually receive the funds to then donate to Wear the Peace. You can obviously go and donate to Wear the Peace yourself at any point, and I would urge anybody to do that. But if you are interested in the track, you can download it for $1 or $100 or $1,000. And any time that I get a ka-ching from Bandcamp that's related to someone downloading Sunbirds, that money will be immediately transferred to Murad from Wear the Peace. Thank you. There's been an immeasurable amount of support from this community for me over the past 8 months, folks that some I've never met before and that I would never have known about if they hadn't reached out to me. Everything from emails and messages of solidarity to what can I do, to letter writing campaigns, to the Minister of Health asking for change, demanding change. Even folks who showed up at my house with a bundle of grocery cards. It's been overwhelming and beautiful, and I feel very, very held by this community. So I'll use this platform as an opportunity to say thank you from the depths of my soul. Thank you. And also, let's keep it going. Let Sunbirds be a catalyst for you. It's definitely been a catalyst for me. And let's see what we can do over the next year, because I'm currently unemployed, so I got a lot of time and energy.
I thank you for sharing just so much and being so vulnerable with me today. Your journey with the track Sunbirds continues to take shape as it's being released January 31st, 2025. The song is performed by Amy Blanding alongside local group Reckless Burning. More information can be found at www.amyblanding.com. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
Atención.
Yucastereo. Domingos 6 a 8 p.m. 90.1 CJSF Radio.
CJSF.
90.1 FM.
Radio Mano Papachango.
90.1 FM. Yucastereo.
Atención.